say the game is getting old. Monday morning and your coffee's cold. Life is not what you want it to be. You need
Hello everyone and welcome to A New Direction. My name is Jay Izzo and oh man! Man, I'm just telling you, sometimes, you know, we always talk about the show's great, and we have a great show. We do have a great show. It's always a great show because I got great guests. But you know what makes this show extra special today? Here's what makes it extra special. We are going to connect. We're going to connect on a level, and we're going to go deeper. And in the process of going deeper, what we're going to do is we're going to learn that, you know what? So many wonderful, outstanding things can happen, not only for your life, but for your business. Because we like to think we're great connectors. We like to think we're amazing connectors. The truth is we're not that good. And so how can we improve our ability to connect with one another? Well, guess who shows up at my door? Barry Moline shows up with a book entitled Connect. It's with an exclamation point. That's why I said it loud. Right? Connect, right? How to quickly collaborate for success in business and life. He is outstanding. He is warm and friendly and fun and really knowledgeable. And you are really going to enjoy him. He is he's experienced so much in his life and has learned so much about helping people connect and connect at a deeper level to help you become more successful. But before we do that, let's do what we do every week, right? And I walk you through the four areas of your life. And here's the deal, folks. We're either growing or we're dying. That's the bottom line. We are not staying stagnant. I don't care what you say. You cannot stay the same. If you've looked at yourself in the mirror from yesterday to today, you are not the same person. All right. In fact, we're all as we age, the skin is not doing what it used to do when we were younger. And as a matter of fact, it gets a little tougher, right? It's harder to take weight off. It's harder to do things that we normally could do. That's just what happens if we do not stay active in our four areas of our life, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So what I want you to do is I want you to check in with yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being my growth in the last week has been awful. 10 is my growth has been amazing. All right. I don't know. It could get any better. All right. 5 is average. Right. And what do we mean by growth physically? So here's how I'm going to do this. So physically, here's, I want you to take a look and take an average of these things like exercise, eating right, drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, doing the things that the doctor tells you to do. Right. How would you rate yourself out there on that scale of 1 to 10 physically in terms of your growth? All right. And you know, is it good? By the way, it doesn't matter what the number is. If the number is a 3, I'm not really concerned about 3. What I'm really concerned about is if it's a 3, what are we going to do right now to change that? What are we going to do to get to, not to a 10, what are we going to do just try to get to a 4? Or even a 3.5, right? What can you change, right? Can you go to bed earlier? Can you drink another bottle of water or a glass of water? Can you exercise, take another walk, or take a little longer walk? Or, you know, maybe it's, you know what, my diet's not as good as I'd like to think it is because I got a lot of sugar in my diet and I need to remove it. Whatever it may be. You know, I haven't had a physical in, you know, 10 years, right? Whatever that may be, right? What are you going to do to make that change? All right, so you got your first number. That's your physical number. The second number is your mental number, right? And here's the deal mentally, right? We have to be active mentally. We can't just be passive mentally. Right. And when we talk about active learning, we're talking about mentally, what are you learning that's helping you grow in your knowledge and your wisdom and your understanding of yourself, of your world, of your business and your life? What are you doing actively? I'm not talking about sitting down. I'm not talking about listening to things. I'm talking about what are you doing to grow your brain? Right. Like read a book like this that will help grow your brain. That's active learning when you're reading. Right. I mean, you could do it listening to a book, but you need to be taking notes physically. See, that's actively doing things to put that stuff into your brain, right? You're encoding. We call it encoding, engrams, where we're encoding that stuff into our brain by actually doing some activity as we're learning, right? That's why they say, you know, learning a foreign language or, you know, learning a new instrument is so good for learning because it's expanding our brain. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say your growth is mentally? All right, you got 2 numbers, physical, mental. How about emotionally? And what I mean by emotionally is there's 2 things I'm looking for here. One is, how well are you able to control your emotions under pressure and stress or getting cut off in traffic? Or when somebody says something that you know, really makes you want to go, right? Can you control it? That's the first part of the emotional piece. And the second part of the emotional piece is, and Barry's going to talk about this, how well are you able to truly listen and understand the emotions of another person? It's critical. Don't just hear what they say. Do you really understand the feeling behind what they're saying? How well are you doing that? So you combine those two together, all right, the pressure and then tapping into others. What number would you give yourself? Okay? So you got three numbers. Final number is spiritual number. People say, what's the spiritual piece? Well, spiritual piece is pretty easy, really. It's if you remove the physical, the mental, and the emotional, it's what's left, right? People go, well, I don't believe in spiritual stuff. Well, we all have faith. We all believe that something's going to happen in the future that hasn't happened yet. That's faith. That's spiritual, right? When things go really bad in your life, what's the first thing that you run to? That's a spiritual thought, right? That becomes your God, whatever it is. What centers you in the midst of chaos? What can provide you joy in the midst of a crazy world? That's spiritual. So whatever that may be, God, meditation, nature, whatever it may be, the question then becomes, how well is it working and how are you doing with it? And what might you need to change? So you have the four areas of your life. Four areas of your life are like the legs of a chair. And you know, here's the thing. The legs of a chair are really, it's really kind of neat because if your legs are uneven, our posture gets bad and it's hard to sit in an uneven chair and we feel awful over time. By the way, if you're uneven in those four areas, that's where you get what's going to happen. You're going to be so out of balance. And by the same token, if your chair is too low and all those areas of your life are too low, it's really hard to get nourished in life. So we need to get them to the right height and we need to get them to in balance. And somebody who is in balance and has the right height, his name is Barry J. Moline. Barry has been bringing people together in the workplace for four decades. He would call it facilitating people. As the current executive director of the California Municipal Utilities Association, Barry knows the importance of synergy and diplomacy and what can go wrong in their absence. From his volunteer work with the U.S. Peace Corps in Guatemala to his leadership of associations, businesses, government and nonprofits, Barry has strived to solve the issues of communication, stagnation, siloed information, unfounding assumptions, and more by teaching his staff, his colleagues, and the world how to relate to one another more deeply and become more successful in life and business. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show and welcome to A New Direction for the first time, Barry J. Moline. Barry, welcome to A New Direction.
Jay, it is great to be with you on A New Direction podcast, and I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. Well, you know what? I love the book. You did a great job. It's extraordinarily well written, and I just absolutely loved it. I loved what you did right away because you gave me the in the beginning, you gave me both the beginning and the conclusion all in the same chapter. Actually, part one and part five is the same chapter, and it's called An In Conclusion. And you come right out and you just help us understand, and you make this statement: here's the secret to powerful connection and getting along with others. And you give us four things, and I think it's appropriate that we start right there because I think, you know, we have a lot of people who are in business and they're entrepreneurs and they're salespeople that listen to the show or watching the show, and the truth of the matter is, we're always looking to be better connectors, and we're always looking for those secrets to be better connectors. And maybe before you start answering this question, maybe the real question is, why is it, in your opinion, why do you think that we think we're such good connectors, but we're really not?
Well, the reason why is because we all are the center of our own universe. And I'm perfect, man. In my universe, I am perfect. You are perfect. Every one of your listeners is like, we got it going.
Right.
So we're tens on your rating system. And unless we start really thinking about it, about, yeah, maybe, okay, I could be a nine, or maybe I'm a three. But still, the point is, we're the center. And when you're the center, you're kind of doing everything right. It is good to evaluate where we are. But that's the reason why, is because we think we're right and everybody else is just a little bit off.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's really interesting because, you know, you and I both coach people and you train teams and you work with, you know, different colleagues and groups and helping them be better connectors. And I'm sure you've run across this, but I more recently, especially during this pandemic, have come to realize, I'm not sure that it's just come to more of my, I guess, attention that we're really not very good connecting. Maybe we were better before the pandemic and we've gotten worse, but maybe we've not been all that good all along. But now that we're kind of coming out of this pandemic a little bit, I'm watching us be very awkward in connecting. Are you experiencing the same thing?
Yeah, I think that our ability to have a conversation face-to-face in particular, it's a muscle like a mental muscle. And if we don't practice just meeting strangers or talking to people online or even with folks that we know, but we just haven't talked to much, it can be a little awkward. Last night I had dinner with five other people and I had not seen them in a year and a half. And I saw them on Zoom, but it was really weird to see them in 3D. It was like going from flat Stanley to just like, boom, they just popped open and were this, you know, 3D characters. And it was funny. It was very unusual. We got over it, but boy, it was unusual at first. It was even just a little uncomfortable.
Right. It was a little awkward, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was. So we have to take these baby steps and, you know, re-engage with people on the little things, find out what's going in people's lives. We'll talk about this in a minute, but start to engage and get a little deeper and find out what happened last week and what's going on in the future and start that process again, which was much more natural when we were seeing people every day.
So let's start with chapters 1 and 5, basically, part 1 and 5, you call it, and in conclusion. And let's start with the secret to powerful connection and getting along with others, because I can see that there are people watching and listening to us on Facebook Live and also CastBox FM Live. And of course, people are joining us, will be joining us across this nation on AM FM 24/7. We'll be on the radio. Thanks for listening there. And also people who are listening by podcast, wherever you may be, whether it's iTunes, thank you. And by the way, I just want to say, if you're listening on the podcast, will you do me a favor and will you just, you know, give us a rating, a positive rating, and just tell people, you know, how great the show is. And also, if you're listening to us, AM FM 24/7 from coast to coast, would you please let the station know that you just love the show? And so that would help us a lot too. So let's talk. The first thing that comes out of the box, here's the secret to powerful connection, getting along with others. And the first thing you say is share personal stories. What do we mean by sharing personal stories? And why is that such a powerful secret sauce to connecting?
The reason why is it's important is because ultimately, when we share a little bit about each other, we get to know each other's hearts and we get to know where each other's coming from. And that sets the foundation for us to do other work together. What I mean by personal stories is not going so deep that we are, we're talking about what's happening in our personal lives and sharing, you know, secrets about what's going on in our families. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we don't want to go that far. I'm just talking about the basics, things like just what's in front of us right now, you know, what are interesting challenges that are facing us, or something kind of fun, you know, what are you streaming that's interesting, you know, because, hey, I'm always looking for a good recommendation, and what kind of podcast are you listening to, you know, you want to talk about a New Direction podcast, you want to talk about the show and say, hey, I'm listening to this great show, you ought to listen to, you know, you're walking your dogs, you ought to, you know, be listening to the pod. Generally, things like that open up our ability to have these conversations back and forth. And that's enough to go like, oh, you know, I can see that, you know, that Jay's into this and, you know, we have something in common and that's kind of cool. And then we build on that as we need to work together.
You know, I think it's interesting, you know, I'm thinking about it from a psychological perspective, because I always do, because of what I, you know, my background and training. But we like to talk about ourselves, don't we?
We do. Yeah. In fact, it's been well studied, and it's surprising that we don't see this in society. Mm. But I can tell you about a quick research project that just opened my eyes, and that was researchers in Chicago wanted to know if strangers getting on a train could have a conversation with the people who they sat down next to, and would they be successful? And before they got on the train, they asked the people who were about to get on the train, you're going to get on the train and you're going to start a conversation with somebody. It might be just like, hey, I like your tie. Where'd you get it? Or I see you're reading something about Chicago. I see you're reading something about the Cubs or the Bulls. What do you think their chances are winning this year? Something like that. They asked those people how successful they'd be, and they said 50%. Mm. About half the people that I sit down next to, some will just look at me like I'm crazy, and others will engage in conversation. Well, it turns out it was 100%. All of the people that they sat down next to engaged in conversation, and they weren't, best friends forever kind of conversations, but they were, somewhat engaging, at least for a little while. And that experiment has been repeated in doctor's offices and bus stations and all kinds of public places. And what we learned from that is that people are eager to talk. You're standing in line at the grocery store and, either something's going on or we got weather or there's, the football team's playing. People want to talk. And if you just blurt out whatever's on your mind, you'd be amazed at how positive a response you'll get.
It's really true. Yeah, I was thinking, first of all, I'm blown away. It's 100%. But it shouldn't surprise me because I think people are so ready to talk. Matter of fact, I think you talked about this, about your wife, June, right? Is her name June? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I think you talk about how she's just kind of just is able to just, she's never met a stranger. And I could relate. I think the story that you relate is that we've been in an elevator before, right? And we're with a bunch of people you don't know in an elevator. And it's awkward silence. And I have to say something because I refuse to go, if you're in a, big hotel, where you have, 14, 15 floors, I refuse to just sit there for 14 floors and just look and stare at each other or the ground or the walls, right? And so here, I've got to say something. And it's amazing how when you just start with something innocuous, as even as something like, this is going to be a long ride, isn't it? It starts to get the ball rolling and people start talking and you start having conversations. I don't think we understand that need for us to be in that type of a connection.
Right. We don't. And interestingly, what happens is when we do that, we actually feel better ourselves. Mm. I mean, yeah, we have the experience of engaging in conversation and making someone else's day, but maybe you say, hey, I love those shoes. Where'd you get them? Right. Those are really cool. Whatever. You don't just have to compliment, but even still, just talking about, the long elevator ride and whatever's on our minds. And what happens is you both step off the elevator and you both feel like, hey, I'm ready to start the day. That was my blood is flowing. My mind is moving. And that was a great start. The story that I mentioned in the book that you brought up is that for the longest time, in my marriage, and I've been married for 38 years, I would kid June about having these elevator conversations. And because she would make all these immediate friends wherever we would go, just in the elevator, like at a hotel. And then I realized when I was doing the research for this book, it was like, that is the thing that I need to be doing. Mm. And it was never a cause for friction. It was just more just, light ribbing. She just was a natural at it. And I realized now, I'm a little bit of an introvert. And, here we are talking and that's all cool, but I need my alone time. And when it's time for me to go to a party, I need to remind myself, hey, ask people questions, talk about them, get things going. I wouldn't say it doesn't come natural to me. It's just that I need to remind myself to do it. And that's how you get it done. June doesn't really need to do that. She can just start talking with anybody. So it's helpful to me to remind myself and get myself in the right frame of mind. And that's how me, as sort of a mild introvert, gets myself going to reach out to others.
His name's Barry J. Moline. The book is entitled Connect, and you're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, listen, I got my two great sponsors, right? I talk about them often, and I love them dearly. Epic Physical Therapy. They are, in fact, my physical therapists. They treat world-class athletes, professional athletes, college athletes, even, you know, up-and-coming future athletes. They work with people who've had surgeries and injuries. They work with people who just want to move and feel better. Maybe you're not sure how to exercise correctly. They work with all of them, and here's the deal. They work with you, and they design a customized treatment program for you, whatever your goals are, right? And they do it because they understand that they need to treat the body as a functional whole. They don't want to just treat your symptoms or your injury. So when you're ready for your epic relief, when you're ready for your epic recovery, when you're ready for epic results, go to epicpt.com. That's E-P-I-C-P-T.com. And Linda Kraft and Team Realtors, for more than 35 years, almost as long as Barry has been married, in fact, she has been helping people all over the world sell their home and buy their home. And she does it by making relationships. She knows how to connect. See what I did there? Huh? Yeah. So that's what she did. And how? Because she understands that, you know what? A home is a personal story. And so when we start understanding the personal story of home, she understood that. And so that's why her clients today say she is the legend of customer service when it comes to real estate. So when you're ready to start your home journey, whether it's selling or buying, start with Linda Kraft and Team Realtors. You can learn more by going to lindacraft.com. That's LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with Barry Moline and his book, Connect, How to Quickly Collaborate for Success. Oh, got to be careful there. Success in Business and Life. Almost blew it there, Barry. Didn't mean to put you in a different category with your book.
Sales could have just risen.
Well, that's what happens when you go live, when you tape this stuff live, folks. Things do happen. Here's one of the things that I thought was really interesting, and we're talking about sharing personal stories as a way to connect. One of the things I thought was interesting is you talk about Vanessa Van Edwards' book, Captivate, which is a great book on its own, too. She presented some additional techniques to get focusing on first impressions and some what she calls conversation sparkers. And I thought this was great fuel because I think we get caught. And you correct me if I'm misjudged what you're trying to get at here, but I think we get caught into asking the same question, especially as salespeople. I find that salespeople get into this rhythm or routine of asking the same questions over and over again to try to build quote unquote rapport, which I hate that word, by the way, hate it, because we really don't build rapport. We're not really connecting to anything here. We're just we're trying to manipulate the conversation. That's all we're trying to do. But she and you both talk about using different things to open up a conversation to truly connect. And I want to just list a few of these things, and maybe you've got a couple to add. Here's one thing that she uses. She says, "What was the highlight of your day today?" When's the last time anybody asked that question? I just found that interesting. What passionate projects are you working on? That's great. What exciting thing is coming in your life? That's great. Do you have any vacations coming up? Or where did you last go on vacation? I mean, these are questions. These are great sparkers, you know, when you're at that party or when you're sitting down, that gets people thinking that you're, you know, it's not like, so what do you do? Right? We all get that question, right? So what do you do for a living? Okay, well, I do blah, 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 right? You have the same approach.
There's one question that I love to ask. And every time that I'll tell you it in a second, but every time that I get into a situation and I'm not sure if the person I'm talking to is working or not working, I mean, they could be retired, they could be a stay-at-home, you know, person taking care of their children, you know, who knows? And that, even that question, you know, it's like, what do you do? It, you know, can sometimes be a little awkward when you don't know the background of that person. It's what's got your attention these days. And I have used that question in a variety of ways. And sometimes it feels a little stilted, like, huh, I'm in a situation here where I don't know this person very well. I think I'll ask that question. And every time I've asked it, we've exploded in conversation because it encapsulates all those kind of interesting things, sort of highlight of your day. I was talking with somebody who was on the edge of retirement and I wasn't sure if they were, but they started talking about their grandchildren and like, okay, well, I guess they're retired. And they were spending a couple of days a week with their grandkids. And then they started talking about the highlights of dealing with them. And we were just off to the races talking about what was going on in their lives. And then, you know, from there, you can talk about highlights and what challenges are you facing? Because, you know, remember, we're the center of our universe. So people are eager to talk about what's going on in their lives. And anyway, I love that question. What's got your attention these days? Because it seems to work in almost every situation.
You know, it's interesting. Before we started the show, we didn't talk about the normal things that we normally talk about. I mean, your book stimulated us to talk about what are you interested in right now? What are you doing, right? And that's kind of how our show, that's how we started before we got on the show, right? And we started sharing what's going on and what we're kind of passionate about. What are we learning? I just, doing something different like that, I just feel like it just turns on different parts of our brain. And, you know, and I felt like in a very short period of time, we actually connected pretty well because we have never met each other prior to this. We talked a little bit online, but we've never talked. We've never talked by phone. We've never seen each other. We don't know each other. But it really did feel like we connected pretty well there. Did you not feel that too?
We did. We connected very fast. And I wasn't surprised, but I was pleased. I was really pleased. So yeah, it happened with us in just about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, it was really cool. I just thought it was really cool how that worked. And by the way, something that she said that you talk about too is called hot buttons. Listening carefully to what somebody is saying and then comment on that part of the conversation. Do you want to dig into that just a little bit?
Yeah, when somebody says, well, I volunteer at the animal shelter, like, whoa, we can really go off into that, you know. I've got a couple of pets. I like animals, and there's a lot you can discover about what it's like to work at an animal shelter, for example. So you can run down that road. You know, that's a hotspot, something that someone is interested in, particularly interested in. And sometimes we get into discussions like, let's take, for example, politics. Now, I don't really recommend getting too deep into politics, but it's an issue that's out there and there's polarization on it. If you get into a conversation on a topic, you know, there's something going on in town. It's maybe not be national politics, but still something going on in town. You know, they want to build a reservoir or do something different with a local park, you know, that can be a little controversial locally. And maybe there's some, there's two sides to the issue. Somebody brings it up. Rather than take a side, engage in the conversation to try to learn. And you almost want to be like, well, you know, like you, Jay, like trying to understand what's going on, you know, from your guest. You know, that's an interesting point. Tell me more. You know, why do you think that? I've heard this fact, you know, about the park and how they're going to put in a baseball diamond and they're, you know, there's going to be a lot more noise at the park with kids playing baseball. You know, what's going on in your world where that might be a concern? And as opposed to saying, you're opposed to kids playing baseball? What's the matter with you? So, you know, why is that a concern? And let the focus, the goal of your conversation be learning and that you'll have a much more successful conversation no matter what the topic is, whether it's something you agree on or something you might have a happy conversation. If it's something you agree on, you'll just keep, you know, building this tower of happiness. But if it's something you don't necessarily agree on, then maybe the two of you can get to the facts together and understand what both sides look like. So it's a way of approaching a conversation, an attitude about it.
You know, I think it's so important that we leave our opinions off the table, right? I think what happens is we have this opinion. This is what I believe. This is what I think, right? And so we want to just throw it out there because we want to be right. I mean, let's be honest. We want to be right, right? So we believe that we have the right stance. So we want to throw it out there, but you're not changing anybody by doing that. Right. And first of all, and then second of all, if the idea is actually to collaborate with each other, and if the goal, and I think this is where, you know, the goals have to be, you have to be clear in your mind when you have these conversations, what's your goal here? Is your goal here to be right? Or is your goal here that I want to connect with this person for future opportunity and a relationship, more importantly, right?
Yeah, and absolutely.
Right. Because you got to go every conversation. You should have a goal, shouldn't we?
Well, I think the big wonderful goal is just to try to get to know somebody right. A little bit better. If you find yourself, you're in a situation where there's some disagreement going on, one way to approach that is simply to say, well, my experience has been different. And rather than say, I'm right, you're wrong, you can say, this is what's happened in my life. And, you know, that I'm privy to that.
Right.
So can I share that with you?
Right.
And that's just an experience, you know, of how things have gone in my life. Another interesting phrase that opens so many doors for me in sometimes heated conversations is the phrase, consider this, mm-hmm. consider this. And you and I are having a, you know, a robust conversation, a spirited conversation about something. And I want to throw out kind of a crazy idea. So I'll say, consider this. And it's not my idea versus your idea. It's this other idea. It's just like, you know, let's brainstorm for a minute. Would this work? Something like this? Mm. And then you and I can look at that and go, oh, yeah, maybe, you know, under this circumstance. But we're looking at something else, and it's not me versus you. It's us together looking at something. Or how would you make that better? And now we're looking at this third-party idea. So consider this as kind of a fun phrase that can open the door in a conversation and get us away from the friction between the two of us.
By the way, his name is Barry Moline. The book's called Connect! Exclamation point. It's a really great book, and you're hearing, you know, how great it is and how great he is. You talk a little bit about listening, and we're really not very good listeners. We're actually horrible because we're so worried about making our next point that a lot of times we don't truly hear what the other person is saying. And you give us some techniques. So let's talk about some techniques, but there's one in particular that you talk about. But I'm going to let you roll with this. Talk about helping us be better listeners. What do we need to do?
Well, first, I think that sometimes we can get off on a rant or we just love something so much that we just keep talking about it and we can't help ourselves. I know I have this sort of tunnel vision problem. Jay, you're a good talker. And sometimes maybe, you know, you're talking with somebody and you just kind of like keep running and running and running. And
oh, yeah.
Then maybe realize, wait a minute, I haven't heard a single word from them. I need to pull them into the conversation. So there's a few techniques that you can use to like, chill yourself down so that you can engage in the conversation. And that is, we want to ask questions about people. What they're saying might spark an idea in us and we just want to blurt it out and then take the platform back and start talking. Rather than do that, we can say things. We can say these filler words like, interesting. You know, we can like bite our tongue and don't come out with that next story. Or that story that sort of like one-ups their story, we can just say like, wow, tell me more. And doing that gets them to talk even more. And it slows us down to focus our attention on them. Yeah, in the book, I say, talk equally or talk about the same amount of time if you can. So you have to sort of have a, you know, like a taxi meter running in your brain. Okay, I've talked a fair amount and I need to give them, you know, the microphone so they can talk back to me. And let's try to keep this about the same. It really doesn't take, you know, they say it takes two to tango. That's in dancing. But in conversation, it only takes one person to really like know the rules. And if you know that one about talking about the same amount of time, you can really get somebody feeling like they're engaged in a conversation. Now, the sweet spot is actually 46% of the time. You should talk only 46% of the time. Not 50, but 46%. And that's from some research. Now, when you call like customer service somewhere, like a big telephone company or something, and they say a recording comes on and says, you know, this call may be recorded for training later. Mm. And I've always thought that they're recording this thing so that if I start cussing, because I'm really mad that my cable's not working, and they'll be able to go back to the tape later and say, see, brother, you were cussing, and that's why we hung up on you. Like, right. Literally, that's what I thought. But no, that's not why they do it. They do it actually for training. And there are companies that analyze all these calls, tens of thousands of calls. And what they found is the customer service representatives are more effective and actually sell more product when they talk 46% of the time. Wow. So if you can, now granted, we're having a conversation here and we're not trying to sell each other.
Right, anymore. Right.
Right, but there's still a magic, you know, point there where if you're talking a little bit less than 50% of the time, the person you're talking to is gonna like you a little bit more. And that's what you want as part of the conversation, you know, to connect, obviously the name of the book, but that's what you really want to do in life. You want to make these connections with people. So talk half, maybe a little bit less than half the time, and you're going to develop a much better relationship.
See, I know that everybody out there is listening more. And so you're not anywhere close to 46%, but you're liking him more just listening, aren't you? I know you are, because I am. One of the strategies you give us on listening, and I thought it's brilliant, is when you think about having a conversation and it's two words, be curious.
Yeah.
As a strategy.
You know, we talked, you know, just a few minutes ago about that idea of trying to learn something in a conversation. That's sort of like the overarching philosophy. If we approach it as, you know, trying to learn something, being curious about the other person, what's going on in their lives, it's amazing, one, how much we can just learn ourselves, but two, have a successful conversation. And, you know, the other day I was, our neighbors, we trade fruits and vegetables. You know, they're growing tomatoes and we're growing plums. And so we're trading back and forth. And the 10-year-old came over to deliver some tomatoes because we had just delivered some plums. And she was like, we were talking on my front porch and she was hanging around a little bit longer. And I was thinking like, you know, Lily, you know, you really want to stand here and chat? You know, I didn't want to just say, okay, Lily, see ya, and go back into the house. You know, she was interested in talking a little bit more. So I thought, well, let me be a little curious about what's going on in her life. You know, I'm the adult. I can initiate this conversation. And I was literally thinking that. Be curious, find out what's going on in this 10-year-old's life, and maybe I'll learn something. And, you know, we got to talking about camp and what kind of activities they do at camp. And I thought to myself, I have completely forgotten what happens at camp. And I relearned the stuff that goes on at camp. My kids are adults now, they're in their 20s. And I forgot about all that stuff, about, you know, swimming and hiking and, you know, petting zoos and all kinds of fun things. And I felt better. I felt like, yeah, like reconnected with my youth. And just after having that conversation, I was curious with her, but I felt better about it just because I was a little bit curious about what was going on in her life.
His name is Barry Moline. The book is called Connect. I want to say hello out there to Jafar and Bobby listening in at CastBox FM, and of course James, Brad, and everybody else is listening, watching on Facebook Live here as well. And all of you, thank you for listening. The book's called Connect, available bookstores near you. We're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, Epic Physical Therapy, they have the bleeding edge, not the cutting edge, the bleeding edge equipment. They have the most up-to-date equipment available when it comes to working through your therapy. And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be dry needling. It could be, you know, the Normatec sleeves. It could be anything. They have it, right? I mean, they have the treadmills that you can walk in that take the pressure off your joints and run in even. It's amazing what they have. And listen, you know, we don't think about equipment as being so important, but it is really, really important for your recovery, right? Having the right equipment so that you can get recovered faster. And you know what? They not only have that, they also have the expertise. Every one of the physical therapists at Epic Physical Therapy are certified. And so they're certified in the latest therapies available. So look, when you're ready for your epic relief and your epic recovery and your epic results, start at Epic Physical Therapy. It's really easy. It's epicpt.com. epicpt.com. And Linda Kraft and Team Realtors. I'm telling you, she knows how to connect. She really does. She really does know how to connect because she's been doing it for over 35 years. And she's been doing it around the world. How does she do it around the world when she lives in the Research Triangle Park? Well, it's really pretty easy because she is independently owned and operated, so she doesn't belong to a national affiliate. What that allows her to do is allows her to connect with the best experts regardless of their company everywhere in the world, so she can help you regardless of where you live. So when you're ready to buy your next home, sell your next home, start with Linda Kraft at Team Realtors. She can find you the right person in your area. It will be the right professional to make the right connection with you. You can learn more by going to lindacraft.com. That's lindacraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction. We're with Barry J. Moline. His book is called Connect, How to Quickly Collaborate for Success in Business and Life. You having some fun? Are you enjoying the show so far, Barry?
Oh, this is fantastic, Jay. I mean, you are just a lovely person to talk to and initiate conversation and just go deep. I'm really having a good time.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I'm enjoying it too. I'm enjoying all the great tidbits that you're giving us, the secret sauce, as it would be, to connect. I want to talk about something that we don't talk about when it comes to connecting with others. And it's right off the bat, you call assume positive intent. Because do we have a problem with that, you think? Assuming positive intent.
Well, you know, it goes back to our original point. We are the center of our own universe. Mm-hmm. And we sometimes think that the actions of others are like, well, that's weird. What's the matter with them? Are they out to get me? You know, why did that person cut me off on the highway? Take that particular situation. Well, they were maybe distracted. Maybe they've got to get to the hospital because, you know, a relative is having a baby, and they realize that they got over, you know, they didn't get over fast enough to the exit, and they've got to get over there, and they didn't see you, but you know, they jumped in front of you quickly. You know, everybody's got a rationale for acting. They're not thinking about other people. They're in their own world. We are all in our own world. And yeah, we try to be conscientious of others, but still, people are not out to get us. They are not out to get us. There are a teeny, teeny, weeny handful of people, fraction, that are like not good. And most of them are in prison. Okay. the rest of us are decent people. And we want each other to succeed. We actually want you to do well. Right. And you know, I'm going to go off in my life and do okay. And I want you to do okay too. I'm happy when you're happy. So recognize that we're just, you know, overlapping our lives a little bit here and there. And people are not out to get us. That's the most important thing. So assume that others have positive intent, that when they may not be saying it quite right,
right,
but still they want the best for us. And that lowers the temperature in a lot of interactions when you realize that, oh, they just don't realize what's going on here. Let me help them out. Then your interactions go a lot better.
I feel like sometimes and our amygdala gets in the way in our inner brain, where we have this structure that's, you know, flight, fight, or freeze, right? And that we're
lizard brain.
What's that?
Our lizard brain.
Yeah, our lizard brain piece. We're in our old brain. We have this thing where I think we're always trying to be prepared for the worst, right? Which, by the way, is just a horrible way to live. Your life is just always being, you know, going, oh my gosh, only the worst is going to happen. And when we start to assume that, and especially when we start doing that with other people, right? When we start assuming that, you know, okay, well, where's the danger sign? Where, you know, I'm looking for the, you know, the red light, the orange light, yellow light, right? Of where it's going to go bad, right? Instead of assuming that maybe they don't say the words exactly right. Maybe they didn't say them in the right way, but they're not trying to be hurtful or harmful. And I think this is where we have a lot of our problems lie, is that we take every word so personally at face value that we're looking for a fight rather than going, you know what, that's not what they meant. Because I'm going to assume that. And in psychology, we have this term called fundamental attribution error, where we make the error of attributing something to someone when that's not actually true, right? We see a particular behavior in somebody and we assume the worst about them. You know, a classic example I used to give in my psychology classes is, you see a car weaving on the road, right? And the first thing you go, oh, there's another drunk driver, right? Or there they are texting again, right? Driving, texting. I can't tell you how, right? And then the car gets pulled over and you see this lady running out of her car, right? And then you come to realize there was a bumblebee in her car, right? We make that fundamental attribution error. To me, that's, you know, when you were talking about assuming positive intent, I think we don't see the bee in the person's brain. And so maybe they didn't get every word perfect or every word right, but to assume that there's something else wrong, it makes us guilty. And that's kind of what I pulled from this chapter. I mean, hopefully I got it right. I don't know if I did or not.
Yeah, no, you got it exactly right. And it's hard for us to do. We have to catch ourselves when we're doing it. Recently at work, I had a colleague who was having some difficulty with somebody they were emailing, and perceived difficulty, and they showed me the email, and she read the email out loud to me, and she read the email in a kind of a negative way. Well, not kind of, in a negative way, you know, yada, 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 oh, and yada, yada. And I thought, you know, I don't think those words are necessarily negative. Let's have some fun here. Let's read that email in a positive way. Okay, let's try it. Just go with me. And we did. Yada, yada, yada. Yada, 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 yada. And we thought, or we were able to conclude, we don't know
right
what that person was writing. And of course, emails or just the written word is very difficult to convey emotion. It's less than 10% of the message. You know, like over 50% of the message is visual and 30% of the message is audio. So when you're just looking at the words, it's practically impossible to understand what the emotion is, you know, happy, sad, whatever. And so we just said, you know what, let's go back and communicate and keep the conversation light and let's see if we can, you know, raise the level of what we're trying to accomplish here. And we did, and it worked. So the point of that, and by the way, to explain that even further on the visual part, that's why when you turn on if you don't speak, you know, a particular language, but you turn on a like a telenovela, if you don't speak Spanish, and you're just watching what's going on, you can tell if they're happy or sad or angry, and you don't understand a dang word, but you can figure it out. You can at least get those emotions down. Whereas if they're saying those words and written on a page, of course, translated to whatever, you know, language you speak, of course, we'd be English, be like, oh, I'm not quite sure if they're angry. But when you see it and hear it, you can tell. So that part of the conversation, really important, the visual and the audio.
You know what, you call it the 55-35-7 rule, which I heard years ago. And I always thought that was really, it's really, really interesting how we do not understand that 55-35-7. So let's just go, you said it, but let's be very specific so people understand what we mean by the 55-35-7 rule and what that really means. So 55% of the time, 55% of what we understand comes from the physical, the facial expressions, and being in physical contact with the person, right?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. If somebody's saying something and they're smiling, then, oh, you get the idea that even though they may be saying something maybe sarcastic, you know, maybe they're right. Joking.
Right.
You know, if they go like this, I'm sorry, I'm holding my hands out, like, what?
Right.
You know, it's one where it's like, hey, you and me, I don't really know what's going on here.
Right.
But if you just saw those words, I don't really know what's going on here, you know, you might say, well, he's an idiot, but it's, I don't really know what's going on here. Let's try to figure it out. You know, it's you and me, but right. you can get into the conversation that way. So yeah, visual, really important.
All right. So then the 35%, which by the way, because this is a podcast, right? You had to literally tell people that you're putting your hands out going, hey, right? Because we only have, what we get is the 35 and the 7%. So 35%, by the way, is of our conversation that we can understand is the tone of voice, which you did a beautiful job of reminding us that you could change your tone to convey the message.
Exactly. And you can tell if you're talking to somebody on the phone or if you're listening on the pod, if I'm smiling when I'm talking,
right?
And, or if I'm not smiling when I'm talking. And I just did it. Hopefully you figured out that when I said that the first time I was smiling, and then the second time that I wasn't smiling, you can hear people smiling on the other end of the phone or listening to the pod. So talking, you know, we're so into the texting and social media world with these snippets of words, you know, that are written, we're not getting any of those other parts of the messages, you know, the visual and the audio, that we're missing out on that part of the communication. And just getting that one little element, I always say to, I don't know, we have, this is a multi-generational thing, you know, older people, well, I don't want to say, I shouldn't say that, because there's plenty of older people that don't mind texting, but a lot of younger people really like to text. And if I'm going back and forth, like trying to make plans in particular with right. someone, and we've gone more than two times back and forth and we don't have a resolution, I call, because we are not, you know, on the same page. And this is going to take, you know, 10, maybe 20 texts just to figure out, you know, a date that we can go to, you know, the movies or to a play together or, you know, whatever it is that we're trying to get to. But we could figure it out in about 2 minutes on the phone. Mm-hmm. So that's my rule, is too many texts back and forth trying to figure something out, pick up the phone and call. And of course, just catching up, always good to call. I have in my world, I'm the CEO of the California Municipal Utilities Association. And that's a group of water utilities and electric utilities. And I talk to a lot of CEOs. And what I found from chatting with them, and these are my colleagues, is that they have the same concerns, vulnerabilities, not sure if people like them, Not sure if their ideas are the best ideas, but they don't convey that to the big world. We just talk about that privately. And that's because, you know, I'm a person that they can trust, that I don't share what we talk about, you know, to the broader world. And I only get that because I talk on the phone with them, or we Zoom together, or sometimes I go visit. But boy, the connection that you make when you see somebody or when you hear somebody is just off the charts compared to just emailing.
Right. By the way, we've been on an hour. It just goes so fast. It really does every week. Wow. I know. By the way, the other 7% represents the actual words that we use, and which, by the way, is we have a tendency to think that we use all the right words. We clearly don't. Listen, salespeople, business people, communication, 55% visual, 35% is your tone of voice, 7% is your actual words. So Barry Moline, the show's called A New Direction because we try to help people find a new direction in their life, their career, business. Based on your book, Connect, if you could leave the listener with a new direction, what would be your new direction to them based on your book?
I would say that it's really important to persist in trying to connect with people. It takes time. People won't immediately jump in and be your best friend or even be, you know, a solid colleague. They have to build trust with you. And the way you build trust is by being consistent, using these ideas of sharing stories and talking about the same amount of time, you know, and assuming positive intent. And when they see that happening over and over again, they go, you know what? I kind of like Jay. And, you know, I'd like to spend a little more time with Jay. And, you know, I can share what's going on in my life. And when Jay and I have to work together, I'm going to do a good job for Jay. I mean, yeah, we work for the same company, but I really want to do a good job because we're on the same team and I like him. And I think we want to work together and accomplish something together. And you get that by persisting in doing this, even when it feels like it's not working. Believe me, if the connections are being made in other people's brains, and it may take a little bit of time to build that trust, but it happens. Just persist at doing it.
His name is Barry J. Moline. The book is entitled Connect. And folks, that's the show. And we had another great show. And listen, I say it to you every week, right? You are in control of two things in your life, regardless of what happens. And that is your attitude and your effort. You can always control those two things. So you know what? Get control of them because it will change your life. I promise you it will. I'm going to be back next week with another great guest. It's going to be another great show. And as I say to you every week, and you know what that is? Shalom. A new direction, a brand new day. A new direction, things are gonna change. You can find the strength to go a different way, yeah. The time has come, your dreams will take you places you have never been before. Find your passion, find your strength. Don't worry anymore. A new direction.